Jay Kling is our guest a little bit more. We'll have him back up sometime in the future to do a more in-depth deal. Jake, I've said I think you have courage. I've posted your stuff over the years over a like it. I'm mad at you. I think you're being a little contrarian when I'm like, okay, you're going to try to get people to go to Minnesota. How do they rally to that? How do they talk to you? You know, where do they sit? We know you're in the streets, obviously. And you're like, I'm in the streets. You know, and I'm like, that's it. So it just seems kind of like you're wanting to argue with me when there's no argument. I think in diplomacy here, we're overall on the same side. So is the only place to find you on X where you said?
I'm obviously on Instagram, Facebook, Rumble, YouTube, everywhere. You know, now that President Trump's in office, we don't have a freedom of speech.
I'm still banned all those places. So yeah, but yeah, I'm glad you're there. That's good.
Yes. And you know, I'm not meaning to be contrarian. I'm pissed off, Alex. This is what happens when you murder Charlie Kirk. You get a bunch of pissed off white guys that, you know, step up to bear the torch to continue his work. And, you know, not everybody's going to be as cordial. You know, when diplomacy fails, Alex, which is what is we're seeing here, then you get this zombie-like, liberal reaction to trying to eat somebody alive. I'm trying to exercise my First Amendment right. Talk about the brownification of America and Europe. And I literally am trying to rip limb from limb by a group of liberals and brown people. And it's disgusting to see that, you know, white Americans are now put as a second-class citizen where we have to be afraid of speaking about our own
replacement. I know. Listen, I'm not trying to be contrarian. Disgusting. I want you to have the floor and I want to have you back because it's interesting. And I get you're pissed off. You could have been killed yesterday. And I see you have a lot of courage, so I admire that. I'm like seriously, like 90% why he's trying to kill you. I was like, you know, I'm just saying, what's wrong with these people? And like, you can't just blame them. I mean, I'm trying to blame. Why is it the white people doing this now?
Well, like I said earlier, you have this woke liberal mind virus that is teaching these people. I mean, you have your 1619 project, right? All this stuff in the school system is teaching that our ancestors were oppressors and slave owners and horrible people. And the people who founded America were disgusting people. And that's why you have these absolute crowds of indoctrinated youths coming out of colleges. You know, I've had family members that they grew up in Christian schools, go through college, and then all of a sudden they come out woke mind virus liberals, and some of my best friends as well too. So we have institutions that are, you know, literally turning these people into like infected zombies that are willing to destroy their own race, their own religion, their own ideologies, the things that built them to make them the man or woman they are today, and tear down those systems to replace it with mongrel Islamification. They want to bow down on those prayer rugs for some reason. They're race traitors. They're disgusting to me.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a fetish. It's like they're being cucked or something. And it's definitely healthy just to say screw it all.
It's a humiliation ritual.
Wow. So they tried to stab you too, but it didn't go through your body armor.
Yeah, there were so many attacks happening all over the place, but I literally felt like the clinking of metal on metal, and my plate carrier had like a tear mark, like a stabbing mark in it later that we see, because I had to flee through a hotel and I did the old switcherooski. I ran through a hotel, went out the back door, took off my plate carrier, threw it to the side, threw my hoodie on, and was able to escape into another Good Samaritan's car. And they took my plate carrier, you know, announcing like they got, you know, like the head of Goliath, and touting it around. And you can see there's a large tear right on the center mass of the plate carrier that was like certainly a knife, and I felt it. There was just sadistic people in the crowd that were trying to hurt me. They took my fingers and wrenched them. I have a couple broken fingers. They literally were like taking my fingers and trying to crunch them, kicking me, spitting on me. They stole my watch, my speaker, my vest, my microphone, everything. They tried to pickpocket me. I mean, this was literally a ravenous group of animals that has been brainwashed by the woke
lefties. I believe you. So let's come back and talk about where this is going next and what you want Trump to do, what you think America should do. Jake Lang's our guest, back in 60 seconds.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You are listening to an Infowars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
No mistake, the second American Revolution has already begun, and the information war is more critical than ever, so people understand the battle space. But being on the ground at every level, in your schools, in your city councils, in your county commissions, in your school boards, on the street, whether you're just a camera person getting the footage, the intel, or whether you're somebody leading a demonstration, everybody has a big part in this now. And this is the attempt to take down of the West, because the West and its ideals, though imperfect, are vastly better than any other culture before and stand in the way of the globalist transhumanist Great Reset. But we have a lot of powerful allies, a lot of powerful people who are waking up and joining us, a lot of average people who have the real power. It's a very exciting time. So Jake Lang, who survived, who I can only admire, you know, your courage. I said, you're still on access to say what you want about this guy. He get attacked a lot, but he has a lot of courage. It's like Private Joker, silly and is ignorant. I'm not saying you are, but that's what they say in Full Metal Jacket, but he's got guts, and guts is enough. Let me just give you the floor in the next 5-6 minutes to say whatever you want about what you're doing, what you think Trump should do, what you expect's going to come next, because you have definitely been in the lion's den.
Thanks, Alex. Appreciate that. You know, and I already have laid my life down for this country. For 4 years I spent in prison after January 6th. I tried to save lives at the Capitol. I tried to stand up against a stolen election. I spent 900 days in solitary confinement, and God saved me from that incredible tribulation through the hand of President Trump. And I know that God saved me for a purpose. And I know that the things that I'm doing out here, the activism to trying to reclaim a white Christian America, which is what our founding fathers had envisioned for our country. They said, and they wrote in their Declaration of Independence, for our posterity, for the posterity of their children and their great-grandchildren. And I want to make sure that the beautiful suburban kind of idealistic America that I grew up in, because I've been so blessed in my life, will be there for the next generation and the next generation after that. I see pictures out of these preschools in Minnesota, and all of the kids are brown and they're all wearing burkas, and it's not the same America. It is the world you grew up in, Alex, and the world I grew up in. I'm only 30 years old, and the demographic shift and the ideology shift has been so drastic, is no longer existent. We don't have the same world, and we need to fight to make sure that our children have a future in this country, that they will not be made DEI second-class citizens through things like affirmative action. They're hiring only, I mean, Fortune 500 companies, the last 90% of hires in the last 10 years are all DEI, no white men allowed. And so we're being replaced in the classrooms in our colleges, in the boardrooms in our businesses, in the bedrooms through the absolute psyop of the interracial phenomenon that they're doing on every single Netflix show. A white girl ends up with a black guy. It is all a controlled psychological operation to the destruction of white civilization, because like I mentioned earlier, we just vote differently. That's at the end of the day, we vote for small government, pro-liberty, pro-family values, pro-Christian values. And you can ask Grok. This is not a, you know, a taboo subject. Just type in AI. What would happen in the 2024 election if only Spanish women voted, or if only Jews voted, or if only any other identifier, any other race other than white men? It would have been like a 40 to 50 state sweep in the Electoral College if only other races voted. And so that's why they're pumping our country with all of these mongrels and foreigners, because they're a controllable class. They come from totalitarianism. They do not have freedom baked into their bloodline like we do with the Magna Carta and the French Revolution and the Age of Enlightenment and everything that happened in Europe to give the American people, the white European people that moved over here, that same like internal gumption to have freedom at any cost. They're replacing us with people that do not care about freedom. And that's what I'm standing up against. I don't hate any culture. I don't hate any race. I don't hate any people. I will go visit them in their homes. I will sit down and eat dinner with them in their homelands, and I'll enjoy their culture, their cuisine, their music, all the things that make them a people. And then I will in turn invite them to my home to visit, to enjoy the white Western European culture that we have created. But do not tell me that diversity is my strength and multiculturalism is how you get to have a great Europe, a great America. It's because we're seeing rampant crime, rampant rape, the replacement of a people. And it's disgusting to me. And it's driven me out to the streets. I am a man of action. I will not just sit here and podcast. And, you know, shame on all of these so-called right-wing podcasters that share, align with me on all the same values. They speak out constantly against white replacement. They speak out against the same things I do all day long. They're partying, getting drunk in a nightclub last night when white Americans are being lynched on the streets. And so, you know, I think the dichotomy needs to shift drastically from who we, revere in this movement. No longer if you're pro-Israel or against Israel, if you're pro-Palestine, against Palestine, or all these other schisms, right? We've seen like the Ben Shapiro versus Nick Fuentes and all the two different camps.
Hold on, we got breaking news. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Hold on, get the video. God, I was just talking to Nick Swartogger 2 hours ago. Nick Swartogger just got drugged by a vehicle. Insane Somali thief just stole Nick Swartogger's camera and drove off, dragging Nick along with it. Pray Nick's okay. This is the kind of lawlessness. We do not need the USA to port them all. Let me be clear. I was not Jake Lang out at partying last night. This is all I do. But a lot of people you're saying are partying.
I'm talking about the right-wing influencers that are currently allegedly carrying the torch for us and, you know, waging this culture war, which I agree with them on. But I have a new classification in this movement, and it's either men or boys. People that are willing to lace up their boots, get their hand dirty, and take back this country. They're willing to be sharp-minded, focused, and attack the problem at its core. Or other people that just want to criticize and podcast all day, and they want to be womanizers and live this degenerate lifestyle out there clubbing and partying and stuff, while men are being drugged through the streets, being dismembered. I mean, they literally ripped my pant leg off me. It felt like my leg was going to rip off my body. They ripped my clothing apart, trying to tear at me like a bunch of hyenas. Well, you have this classless, degenerate, and half of them aren't even white, first of all, group of men that claim to be standing up and supporting the same value system of American right-wing conservatives. I have to throw away all of the trash out and say we need a reset. It's either men or you're a boy. And these alleged men, which are acting like boys, while white Americans are putting our life on the line, trying to support ICE, which is the mechanism we use to cleanse our country of all the illegal immigrants, while we're out on the ground supporting ICE, these people, these feckless, spineless grifters, are out there partying their asses off. Not one of them, you know, makes a post, you know, supporting me. They don't give a shit what happens to white
Jake,
people
Jake,
out on
Jake,
the streets.
Jake, you make your points. We're glad you didn't get killed. I think that people have come to Nick Fuentes' house to kill him. He's done a lot of rallies. He was there on J6. I think at the end of the day, to say that, I mean, are we ever allowed to go out and have a good time? I really don't. I just think with all that's going on, all that's happening, I think you're really angry, feel like more people should be involved, more should join you. I think that is the case. So I get where you're coming from. I just don't know if it's front and center. Well, let's talk again.
They don't even send a retweet. They don't even send a retweet to be like, hey, go show up at Jake's event. Make sure this man is not alone being ripped limb from limb by rabid liberals. They can't even share a platform. So all these people, then they act surprised when a lone American patriot is ripped limb to limb by violent Marxists, because they're all gatekeepers and they all want to just have
their
little piece of the pie.
Sure, what do you think of Nick Swartogger and Nick Shirley? They're out there putting skin in the game.
Of course. And those are my brothers. And that's the classification I'm talking about. But those are a different, that's a different type of people too, because those are not necessarily right-wing influencers. Those are journalists, Alex. And so you have very few right-wing influencers, activists, whatever you want to call them, that actually are espousing their political beliefs, not just covering the events in which these things happen, but openly advocating for, you know, your, their own political beliefs.
All right, Jake, we'll talk to you soon.
So that's the difference.
We'll talk to you soon. Thank you for joining us. Glad you survived. Very interesting and a lot of courage. Thank you. We'll talk to you soon. All right. I was about to hand the baton to the great Royce White. And we're going to do that here in a moment. But I just learned that Nick Sordor, we're going to play this footage, got mugged and robbed of his camera, got caught up in the car with a Somali and got drug off. So leftist thug steel journalist Nick Sordor's camera, hop in a car, drag him down snowy city sidewalk for documenting Minneapolis mayhem. I mean, Trump's got to declare the insurrection now. Let me call Sordor while we play this clip. Here it is.
Hey, what did she just do? She fucking... She took Nick's camera. She just stole Nick's camera.
Don't give him the camera!
Just tell her to give him the camera back. What happened, Nick?
They just stole my camera.
Right out of your hand while you're in the car?
That's the fuck you wanted, right?
That's what you did.
Man, listen, motherfucker. Get the fuck up out of here.
My daughter.
You fucking coward.
Mom,
motherfucker, you a coward, hey, bitch.
You have to leave.
You're a fucking coward, motherfucker. Get the fuck up out of here.
$1,000
bitch.
Look at this scum.
You're a fucking coward, motherfucker.
All right, that's too much cussing. Let's fade this down. Wow. Wow. These people are just absolute trash. Royce White responding to this. RoyceWhite.substack.com. Born and raised in Twin Cities, very successful, went against the system, running for high-level government. Yet again, we should all support him. He's currently a professional athlete, an NBA player, mixed martial arts, author, political activist, outspoken issues such as medical health, the Uyghur CCP, cryptocurrency, the Federal Reserve, the fight to save our republic. Royce White on Substack.com. Find him on X as well. Royce, wow, what do you do to make a sword or all the craziness, the Jake Lang stuff, the Insurrection Act? I mean, wow, what we're seeing in Minnesota is the left is taking their hatred to the next level, beating up people wearing American flags, randomly beating up IT workers because they look like ICE. I mean, and it's happening not just there, but in other cities. This is crazy. Royce White.
Yeah, might be the first state of the second Civil War. I've been saying it's the belly of the beast for a long time. It's the focal point of, you know, American politics. And, you know, I'm just disappointed. As a Minnesotan, I'm disappointed and I'm, you know, concerned is putting it mildly. And honestly, President Trump should just declare the Insurrection Act. I mean, let's just get to it. And, you know, Governor Tim Walz, he's calling the National Guard in, saying that they need to help the local police. I mean, they're setting the stage for Minnesota. And it's ironic. I mean,
yeah, let's be clear. They have the police standing down. He called them out Friday so he could have them stand down.
Right. And nobody would, even after 2020, and we were right on the brink of it in 2020 as well, and that's why I went out there like Jake Lang said, and you got, be in the streets. And I was in the streets, and a lot of conservatives, you know, criticized me and say, well, why did you lead these peaceful demonstrations? Hey, people are gonna exercise their First Amendment rights. A lot of people are mad about a whole host of different things. I'm gonna talk about that as I take over the show, but people are deeply upset because the government has been screwing us. They are scamming us. We all know that. We talk about the globalist elite and their agenda all the time. So they are scamming us, but I think people have been brainwashed to have displaced anger. And a lot of people are just nihilistic and have self-hatred that they're, you know, projecting onto their
politics. I agree.
Politics.
What do you think of Don Lemon celebrating attacking a random church?
I mean, what would you expect from a guy like Don Lemon, who talks about white supremacy and bottoms for a white man? Of course, he's, you know, disanchored from reality. You know, a lot of these people aren't even living in reality. What I was going to say is after 2020, you would have maybe thought, hey, Minneapolis is a tinderbox. But people still, even after 2024, people still, Minnesota, what's going on in Minnesota? What's so special about, why does Minnesota keep coming up? Powers and principalities. I mean, this is the center of the deal, in a lot of ways, for a lot of different reasons. So I'm disappointed and concerned. I hope President Trump, declares the Insurrection Act and we can get this calmed down. Now, I will say, I think people are going to start to calm down anyway. Because truth be told, they're in on the scam. That's the great gaffe here, Alex, and you and I talk about this, you know, often, is these people want to be a part, they desperately want to be a part of the same system they say is guilty. So their anarchy can only go so far.
Well, that's right. Eventually they're going to burn out. There's a fraud's coming out, and now it's been proven that it's all these managers using the Somalis. That's right. Above them.
They will do anything they possibly can to avoid from looking in the mirror and acknowledging the very people they voted in stole from them. And that's what I'm going to be talking about tonight on the show. So,
all right, we'll take over, my friend, Royce White.
Thank you, brother. Godspeed to you. Continuing on right there. And I agree a lot with a lot of what Jake Lang was saying. And people could say, oh, well, you know, he's talking about race and replacement theory, and you're black. Yeah, yeah, and my grandmother was Norwegian, first-generation immigrant from Norway, blue eyes, blonde hair. And a lot of these people in the streets would say that she's evil by birth. And that's why I don't really play to the race game. But I also don't shy away from it. I said the other day on X, and I said on Real America's Voice, race will be the default. Race will be the default they go to when all else fails. When all of their other political propaganda loses its momentum, they will default to race. And that's what you're seeing play out there with Jake. And that's what you're seeing play out there with Nick. And that's what you're seeing play out with President Trump in this conversation about illegal immigration. And there's a clip I went back and saw from about 8 years ago where Rachel Maddow made the claim that immigration policy as a whole is rooted in racist eugenics. So this isn't just starting by any means. It's ratcheting up. It's hitting a boiling point for sure. But it isn't just starting. This thing has been in the works for a very long time, that nationhood and citizenship and sovereignty would be attacked by a broader political propaganda that says all of those things are inherently racist. And that's why race is important for us to talk about. So people may get uncomfortable with what Jake is saying, but on two fronts, yes, race is an issue that we have to be willing to discuss. And also, being out in the streets, I couldn't agree more. Now, In fairness to him, I know he's here in Minneapolis, and a lot of us were mortified to see what took place with him and being drugged through the crowd. And on first glance, I mean, I would have, you know, it wouldn't have shocked me if he hadn't made it out of there. That's how out of control the temperature is in American politics. That's how out of control the culture war is in this country. It wouldn't have surprised me if Jake didn't make it out of there with his life. So I understand his frustration. I really do. And I agree. Where are the counter protests? I mean, the fact that he was out there alone, the fact that these protests are taking place, and I'm not calling for violence. See, and this is where there's a very fine line that we have to confront. I'm not saying that counter protesters should come out there and, you know, look for violence, but the fact that this country only has about 150,000 to 200,000 split between Republicans and Democrats in statewide elections, like, let's say, President Trump, for example, in 2024, he lost by, you know, about 150,000 votes on paper. Where are all these Republicans? Where are all these conservatives? Where are all these Christians? Where are all these, you know, people, libertarian, whatever you are? Where are the MAGA and America Firsters? Where are these people? And I said this before, and I'll say this again here tonight. People ask me all the time, why do black people vote Democrat, you know, so religiously? Why do black people vote Democrat so consistently? Why do minorities vote Democrat so consistently? And the obvious, you know, default response is, well, they're in on the expansion of the federal government through social programs and, you know, welfare, like the Somali community here. Obviously, I mean, we see the numbers. We can't hide it. We can't dance around it. We can't say it any other way than it is. A good portion, a majority of Somalis are on government assistance or some type of government funding. So, but why do they, what about the narrative? We're not talking about the votes and the, you know, the fruit that comes from voting a particular way. What about it culturally draws people to vote the way that they do? People have an intuition of who the bullies are. When you're a kid and you step onto the playground, you know who the dominant kids are. Or if you don't, you find out real quick, and you might find out by getting knocked upside the head. And so when people identify who the dominant individuals are or who the powerful group is, of course, out of self-preservation in a lot of cases, they're going to go along with who they think has the power. And that is the buried lead here. I'm going to talk about this for the rest of the 2 hours that I have. And we're going to go deep, as deep as you can possibly go. That is the buried lead here, is that a lot of these people are nihilistic. Yes. A lot of them are self-loathing and self-hating. Yes. They hate their lives. They're depressed. They're in despair. A lot of them are on drugs. Yes. But a good portion of the people who side with them, let's say online, or may fall on the same side of the line at a poll during an election, a lot of them are siding with who they think has the power, who they intuit are the bullies. We get it backwards. We look at these, you know, pink and purple and green haired, you know, transgender Antifa type of folks, and we go, these people are dumb. You know, they're detached from reality. And more or less, they're soft. You know, they're not tough people. You know, they're kind of snowflakes. They're emotionally soft. We get that. And so we talk about them in that way. But as a collective, they're strong. As a collective, they're a formidable force. And as a collective, a political collective, a political coalition across this country, they give off the sense of dominance. And this what Jake is saying, you know, whether you agree with the details of it or not, what he's saying is that him being out there in the street by himself indicates something. It's a signal. And the signal is, as much as we talk about America First and MAGA and patriotism in 1776, Minnesota right now, Minneapolis is the center of American political culture. And the Republican Party or the right wing or the conservative movement or Christians or MAGA or America First are disproportionately underrepresented. That's the truth. And I'd be lying if I didn't say I have half, even though I'm running for United States Senate, and I dare say, you guys know what would happen if I went out there. I mean, I know what would happen. I'd be in a fight in about 15 minutes. I think I'd do good in a fight, to be honest.
You're a pretty big, scary guy. Those, I don't know if they'd mess with you, but there are.
Yeah, but they would. I mean, when you get a mob, Alex, of 1,000 people, people start to have courage they wouldn't normally have individually. So I'd get in a fight, you know, and I'd back a lot of people off. But there's a possibility that even a mob of 50 people could take me down. Now, I'd probably go out there with about 10 or 15 other people as well. But my point is.
We got to go to break. Listen, yeah, speaking of that.
Go ahead.
And by the way, you're welcome to come host the show this week. I'm not trying to come to your time. You understand some urgency.
Yeah, no.
I talked to Nick Sordor. He's going to come on with both of us for about 10 minutes right now. Exclusive.
Great. Let's do it.
First interview. All right, folks. I was getting ready, writing headlines, and Nick called me back. And he's got a new phone. They stole his phone. We're talking to Nick Sordor straight ahead. He's got mugged, and the left all attacked him. After that, we'll be right back with the Star Reporter. Stay with us.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Mm. All that stopped with the sea moss. It is a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taken, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it. And it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in and go, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yeah.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it, like, happens all the time with iodine. Iodine's one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Well, I've known Nick Swerdlor since he was the main journalist, the only one that cared, really, about the derailment of the train and the chemical leak that Biden didn't care about. And he does a Sunday show with InfoWars. He's a good friend of mine. And he's right up there with Nick Shirley and others at the top of the food chain when it comes to independent journalists, literally under physical attack. He's been attacked by Antifa, you name it. The police arrest him in Portland. He's filing suit against them, has filed suit. Well, just a few hours ago, this just broke in the last 30 minutes, right as the sun was setting in Minneapolis, he got assaulted by a Somali who ran off and drug him behind his car, similar to Officer Ross, and stole his camera and other things. And so he exclusively joins us here from the frozen wasteland. Before we go to him, here's raw footage of what just happened.
Hey, what did she just do? She fucking...
Oh, shit. Okay, it's okay.
She took Nick's camera.
Hey! 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 H
She just stole next camera.
His hand is inside the car. Good God.
No, give him the camera.
Just tell her to give him the camera back.
Nadima! Give him the camera.
What happened, Nick?
They just stole my camera.
Now the letters
are tagging. You're in the car?
That's the fuck you wanted, right? That's the fuck you wanted, right?
That's what you did.
Man, listen, motherfucker. You get the fuck up out of here.
My daughter.
You fucking coward.
Mom,
motherfucker, you a coward, hey, bitch.
You have to leave.
He's a mouthpiece for fucking coward. You motherfucker. Get the fuck up out of here.
$1,000
bitch. You fucking coward. You a fucking coward, motherfucker.
Nobody stepped in.
Motherfucker, you trying to incite that shit.
Nobody stepped in.
Get the fuck up out of here, bro.
$1,000
for the recording.
Did you call
911? Much less almost killing him. And these cowards know who he is because he shows them.
We're not Nazis and we're not racist. I condemn.
Nick is the opposite of a coward.
I condemn all racism.
Man, they got so much trash. It's everywhere, though. But, I mean, they have bred this in Minnesota with a welfare and liberalism. It's like Jawas in Star Wars here. People are so arrogant.
It doesn't matter. We're allowed to be here. It's the United States of America.
That's the thing about this third world crap, folks. They're driving us out.
We're not leaving until we get the camera. You want us to leave? Give us the camera. Call your friend. Get the camera back. And we'll leave.
They're so used to hunting us. Ilhan Omar talks about the danger of the police state. Her family ran the government, killed 200,000 people and genocided, run here. Nick Sordor, I appreciate the exclusive. I know you're exhausted. You're still out there in the wasteland in the middle of the night. In the middle of the evening, you got the floor. Tell us what happened. Tell us what's unfolded. Obviously, you've been calling for Trump to declare the Insurrection Act. Now, with everything else we're seeing, invading and attacking innocent churches, trying to kill Jake Lang, attacking anybody wearing American flags, beating up random white people because they look like ICE, IT workers. I mean, this, I've never seen anything like this. These people are crazed. Nick, and we got Ride the Shotgun, the host of this show with me, and of course, the great Royce White. Who is a very popular talk show host up in Minnesota, in Minneapolis. So he's there with you. And Nick Sordor, we're glad you survived this. Forget the $1,000 camera. Look, you were like running 40 miles an hour beside that car. You ought to give it the Olympics there or something, brother.
Yeah, well, Alex, I'll tell you, the reason that I was running with the vehicle is because they had my hand trapped in the door. That's why. I was running for my life is what I was doing more than I was running for the camera. And now, I mean, you can see, so like when I grabbed onto it and it twisted my hand in there and, it just recently stopped bleeding. They treated it at the scene after, I mean, you had EMT, like two fire trucks showed up before any cops did. They treated it at the scene. It still just recently stopped bleeding, like I said, but my hand got turned in the door and stuck. And so when I was running along, it was because I was trying, you know, not to fall under the vehicle, not to start being, you know, like physically dragged sideways. And the only reason that I got my hand free is because the door handle ended up breaking from dragging me. And I ended up, obviously I didn't get the camera back. That camera is never coming back. The Minneapolis police are, they basically blamed me for this. I still have the strap on my wrist here from the camera. It was tied to my wrist, but the force, they used so much force on me, ripping it out of my hand that it broke the strap too. Minneapolis police basically told me that I needed to get out of there, because I was, just my presence in general is harassment to them. They called the police and said that I was dragging people down the road. That was the actual dispatch call from Somalis. We actually have that reporting that I'll post here in a bit. So that was the initial call.
By the way, Nick, let me be clear. I know your hand got caught. I know you got hurt. I wasn't criticizing you. I was saying after they almost killed you, you were like worried about the camera. And to be clear, now that I watched the footage, the car was clearly going about 40 by the end. You weren't running at that time. You were skiing on the ice in the footage. You were literally skiing.
Yeah, and they were driving on a sidewalk. They were driving down a sidewalk, dragging me down that sidewalk. And honestly, like, it was to the point where you could see that tree that I was about to end up being between. I mean, it's just, it could have ended much, much worse than it did. And, you know, nobody stepped in to help me. Nobody at all. They all just watched. And actually, they were cheering it on. You know, that's the sort of people that we're dealing with out here. These are people that are telling me to get off of their turf. You've got to be kidding me. These third world invaders are telling me that I got to get out of my own country. you know, under threat of death.
Well, yeah, they weren't just sharing it. They were threatening you again and saying, get out of here.
Yeah. I mean, the police showed up 35 minutes later and they didn't do anything. They have these guys, it's all on video and I'll post it later. I recorded this part on my phone. Where they're telling me like, oh yeah, come back later and see what happens. See what happens.
Well, I'll be honest. I'm not trying to act tough. And I know Royce White's a giant, you know, big tough guy in his own right. MMA, NBA. I'm scared to go up there because I've had my ticket almost bought. I can't take it, man. These people get my, I'm going to go crazy. And then some Soros DA is going to throw my ass in prison. Royce White, you got any comments for Nick Sordo who just survived this?
Nick, how long are you in town for, brother?
Well, you know, I was supposed to leave tomorrow night, but now I've extended my stay another week. I'm not leaving here. Yeah, this is what these people don't understand. The more you screw with me, which they continue to do, the longer I stay and the worse this gets for them. So I was going to go back home for a few days and like regroup back in D.C., but no, we're not doing that now. We're going balls to the wall out here. I'm going to bring more people out here with me.
Yeah, you need to bring Royce White with you. He's pretty intimidating.
Yeah I'll get your number from Alex, and I'll get your number from Alex, and I'll come out there with you. Quick question here: Where were you in this video? Was this down by Cedar Riverside? Is that the area you were in?
Yep. It was Cedar Riverside, and funny enough, I didn't actually know that this was a Somali neighborhood. All I knew was that it was where I figured it out very quickly after I got there. But what I knew was that this neighborhood had, there was a New York Post article from the other day saying that the Biden administration accidentally gave them $35 million. And so I wanted to go see what this place, the place looks from the interstate like a mixture of a Middle Eastern and Soviet era tower. You can't miss it as you drive by on the interstate. And so I recognized it from the New York Post article. So I had to go by and look at it. And lo and behold, it's like the capital of the Somali colony here in Minneapolis, Cedar Riverside.
In the entire United States, actually. Cedar Riverside, highest concentration of Somalis in the state of Minnesota for sure, but by way of the whole country, you know. So another question for you, and you've been on top of this for weeks and weeks now. What sense do you get, since you've been out there in the streets? What is the main spirit of protest? I mean, are they protesting that we should allow illegal immigrants into this country? Or is there a polyglot of other protests like free Palestine, LGBTQ rights, climate change? What are you seeing out there on the street? Is it just about the illegal immigration and ICE, or are you hearing a mixture of all protests from the left come together?
For the most part, it's all about, it's all anti-ICE stuff. And the reason for that being, I mean, the Democrats have decided that this is going to be the ultimate battleground out here. Because if they lose this battle, then they're probably going to, lose the war, this deportation war, right? But on the other hand, if we lose this battle, if we patriots lose this battle, then we lose the deportation war as well. And that's terrifying.
100%. It's about the apportionment for the new members of Congress. It's about the permanent underclass. Absolutely. I'm going to let Royce White take over here. Commandeered this and Nick Sordor. And this is going to be obviously huge news tonight. Giant news tomorrow. You've been calling for Trump to call out, the military. He's got 1,500 Arctic troops that have come in from Alaska ready to deploy. He's got to declare the insurrection. When the police don't protect the people, when the governor and the mayor allow all this to go on, this is the Constitution. This isn't overriding the Constitution. This is enforcing it, isn't it?
Oh, I mean, 100%. It's gotten to the point where my crime out there, keep in mind, I was robbed in my vehicle. I never got out of the car. They like you say, if you've seen the video, they opened my door, stole my camera, and were able to run away with it. So it's not like I was walking down the street even. Like it's like at first I'm thinking, okay, well, what am I going to be carjacked or something? It was crazy to think about. And then the police are telling me that, you shouldn't be in this neighborhood. It's like, okay, why don't you guys take back the neighborhood? You're the police.
Well, so they're telling you that it's an Islamic no-go zone for reporters in America. And so just be clear. Describe it, because, a lot more happens we don't see on tape. You're sitting there, and what happens? Your door opens, somebody grabs your camera.
Yeah, so what had happened was at the time somebody ran up to the vehicle. It was the security guards from the building itself saying that I wasn't allowed to be there on a public street. And so I was, we were having that conversation, and the Somalis like swarmed and then like opened the door and yanked. It was all such a it all happened so quickly. And you know, of course I ran after, they tried to block me from, they all saw what happened. They're cheering it on. And they easily could have stopped it from happening, but no, they were all for it. It's mob rule out here. They know the police aren't going to do anything about it because this is now their territory. They've claimed it and it's been ceded over to them. This is no longer American soil in their mind. This is their turf and only their turf.
I remember last week you're being followed, just trying to cover the demonstrations down where the good lady got killed, being a human shield for the illegal aliens, trying to ram the officer Ross. And they follow you around for like 30 minutes, hitting you, throwing ice at your head. And you call 911 and talk to them for like 20 minutes. And they just say, nah, we're not going to help you. You shouldn't be there. So now you're telling me, this is a major civil rights lawsuit, by the way, folks. You're already suing Portland for arresting you when you got assaulted by Antifa. This is a huge civil rights issue. Another reason for the Insurrection Act. The police, word for word, and if I know you, I bet you recorded it. You just haven't had time to get it out yet. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Absolutely.
You have them saying, you're the troublemaker getting mugged.
Yes, absolutely. They said you shouldn't be here and that you need to get out of this area immediately, because they said that I was harassing them by being there. And so that, and basically they were justifying me being robbed by saying that I was harassing people just for being out there. Again, I never got out of the vehicle. All I was doing was driving on a public street and that was the crime.
That's so, like somebody, yeah, and that's like, you know, in a few places it happened, it was wrong. It didn't happen a lot, but too many times, hundreds of times, being like in Alabama in 1959, and, well, we lynched this black man. He shouldn't have been walking around after dark on the street. You're like, what are you doing, a white man walking around? What are you doing in a car here? I mean, this is insane.
Nick. Yeah, white people have no civil rights protections in the United States of America at this point. You are automatically the aggressor just by being white. I mean, I hate to make it, I'm not trying to make it about race out here, man, but the first thing they ask you when you call the police, it's not really, are you in a safe place? They ask you, are you white, black, or Somali? That was what they were, I'm sorry, white, Hispanic, black, or Somali. Those are the four options they gave me. And I mean, I have to sit there and tell you, I'm white. I mean, I should start telling them I'm Somali. Maybe they'll show up.
Royce, you lived there your whole life. I know it's gotten really bad just in the last few decades. What the hell's going on with the police? I guess they're under control of that evil mayor and governor.
Yeah. I mean, institutions take on their leadership, and we have a crisis of leadership. Crisis of leadership, failure of citizenship. You know, it's horrifying to see as a Minnesotan. Obviously, I'm running for United States Senate to try and change some of that, and I hope Mike Lindell is victorious in governor. If that happens, then you'll see swift changes, you know, coming from us and, you know, as representatives of the MAG and America First movement. But, you know, there's a cultural rot here. And I want to say, I thank Nick, and I thank Jake for being brave enough to go out there in the streets. And when Nick and I get connected, I'll gladly come out there with you as well, brother. But I want to make, emphasize this to people. Color revolutions never end in chaos. We have to understand what's really going on here. Color revolutions never end in chaos. There will be a king that ascends to the throne. The chaos, the sense of chaos, the sense of fear, the sense of lawlessness is a weapon. It's a cultural weapon aimed at us to bully us and to get us to surrender,
right.
To get
we
us to be afraid to come out.
Engaged. You're about to take over. Absolutely great job. Royce White, closing comments. Nick Sordor about where all this is going. This is going to be a giant story on top of everything else. You got the Jake Lang thing, all of this. I mean, this is a lawless city out of control. This was done by the Democrats by design.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is going to backfire tremendously on them. I think that this is something that, well, they're going to be probably messaging me and be like, hey, we found this camera. Yeah, do you want it back by chance? We're doing goodwill, and you can find it at daycare center. I mean, that's probably something that's gonna end up happening, because they don't want this smoke, Alex. I mean, like, even on your platform, this is gonna blow up, man. And this is Cam Higbee, who I had on my show earlier here on InfoWars, and he was actually there. He's the guy that recorded the entire thing going down. And
Cam, I recognize Cam. Cam, what do you make of this insanity?
I mean, it's anarcho-tyranny out here. They control the streets. They direct traffic. The MPD always intentionally shows up after the action's over, so they don't have to do anything about it. They can just say they have a bunch of reports stacked up and they have to go to respond to other things. They had the license plate number with the address, so they knew where they, and we had the make and model of the vehicle. They told us they had a match.
Yeah.
They knew who it was. And also, like, these people are just surrounding the car telling us we have to leave. We don't belong here. You know, we're not welcome.
That's just like the cops protecting the KKK before. Same story.
Yep. Yeah, but you know, it's to the point where, you know, we believe that that vehicle was from Cedar Riverside. Yeah, we believe that. And which is still the neighborhood we were in. This is like a massive Soviet-style apartment complex, Alex. It's not. It only spans like two or three blocks, but it has a bunch of high-rises in it that it looks like a third-world country.
No, though. I've seen it. Guys, pull it up. It's massive. It looks like Russia or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, say the name. I just saw that like last week, and I saw the big, huge apartment buildings. What's the name again?
Cedar Riverside.
Cedar Riverside, Minneapolis, Minnesota, housing projects, basically. And that's the one that's like 100% Somali, yeah. So
it's 100% Somali.
Only they live there because only let you live there. So in closing, do you think they knew it was you, or did they just thought, oh, a white guy came in here, let's rob him?
They were yelling over the Cam actually probably has it on video at some point. They were yelling that's Nick, that's Nick, that's Nick on their little ICE watch radio thing.
Some of them thought we were ICE. Some of them knew it was Nick. Some of them probably just saw white guys in the neighborhood and wanted us out.
So how fast did they recognize you? That's fab. That's good intel. How fast?
We were there for like 10 minutes and they started following. I mean, we hadn't done anything. We were there for like 10 minutes and already we had a convoy of cars behind us honking.
Five, six vehicles. Yeah. I mean, like, this is the ugliest place you've ever seen. And I'm just going to be honest. Like, I have now declared war on Cedar Riverside, the Cedar Riverside neighborhood of Minneapolis. However, I mean, in reality, they declared war on me. It's just, it's not going to go particularly well for them. And, you know, so you see them, they all wear masks. They surround this liberal white woman right here started the whole thing. She's the one that called us out. And I was making like, I was showing her at one point, you know, when they actually, this is where it all kind of started there. This is Kev's video, I believe. Yeah. And so she kept saying, I'm not white. I'm not white. I'm not white. And she's clearly white. Like liberal white women that are, there's something wrong with them, Alex. I don't know. It's like they're diseased. It's like they've been programmed to hate themselves. And so she wouldn't even, she's like there all day long, just patrolling the neighborhood. Like she's some sort of guard.
West Bank.
Oh, they call themselves the West Bank, Safety Patrol. Jeez. Which is interesting.
Where hype is, vests.
Have you heard the new name for them that they really hate and really don't like? It's called Awful. AWFUL. Affluent white female urban liberal.
The Awfuls. Yep.
All right. Well, hey, Nick, you guys both be safe because there's really a bigger target. But link up with Royce White. If it's okay, I'll give him your new number. And if you got time tomorrow, pop in. But thank you so much. And just wow, what a time to be alive. God bless you.
Appreciate you, Alex. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Alex.
All right. Royce, I apologize for commandeering your time. I know you've always said that's okay. But you got over an hour now to break things down. I also want to get you to guest host an hour this week. Royce White, we love you. Take over.
Thank you, brother. Great Nick Sorter there. Shocking footage from right here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I've been saying it for 2 years, and I told you souls never feel good in these moments. We're going to talk about the entirety of what's going on here in Minnesota, Minneapolis, as a signal for what's going on all across the country over the next hour. It's an honor to be back this weekend. Wish it was under better circumstances. I really do. And honestly, I mean, I've been waking up in the middle of the night disturbed for the last 2-3 nights because, I mean, you can feel it. You can feel the energy. It's very possible that Minnesota becomes the first state of the second Civil War, the second American Civil War.
By the way, I said I was going, but I agree with you. My spider sense has never been wrong in my life. I've never had so much anxiety. I cannot even sleep at night now. It's not just Minnesota. It's everything. Are you feeling it too?
Absolutely. I mean, we're right. We're right up on the edge. I mean, it's the constitutional crisis. It's the things that are going on geopolitically. It's what happened here in Minneapolis. I mean, the circumstances are ripe for the whole thing to blow. And I hope that we can, you know, if I can add anything, hopefully I can be a voice of reason. That's why I keep trying to talk to, you know, not the leftists, because we can't reason with them at all. They're unwilling to listen to logic. But there are some people over there that I think are held hostage, psychologically hostage, to things that they just haven't thought through. I mean, I don't mean your awful liberal white women. I don't mean the awfuls that are out there in the street and they're guarding for the Palestinians that don't even live in the neighborhood. I'm not talking about them. But there are people that vote Democrat religiously because they listen to CNN or they look at the headlines in passing and they've gotten their political philosophy from their college or their high school or their kindergarten or wherever they got it from, their parents, grandparents, whatever it is. These people don't even really understand what they are participating in. And I know because I come from some of those communities and I watch these people not really engage in politics. And that's what I'm going to talk about on the other side of this break here. We got about a minute and a half left, but understand people are in a world where people are fake and life is becoming more fake because it's becoming more digital and individuals are having trouble connecting with other individuals on any meaningful level, much less themselves. People are having trouble connecting with themselves on a meaningful level. They are desperate to try and jump on to something. To you know, be involved or part of something. That's the psychological weapon that's being waged against this country right now. People who have been subject to a digital, mind virus culture. They've been subject to it for their whole life.
It's brainwashing. It's brainwashing. You nailed it.
Right, and they don't even know. They think Emily in Paris, OnlyFans, cocaine, revolution. I'm Che Guevara, and they have the theme music playing in their head.
One battle after the next, all the movies. Yeah,
that's right. There's like a theater playing in their head, and they have the music, and they have their role. And the scary part is they're willing to die in the drama. Usually, an actor is like, you know, not a method actor. These people are method actors. Some of them are method actors. Some of them are just looking to be a part of something. And that's why I think cooler heads will prevail. The Insurrection Act should be declared. And I think when the boys roll in, you'll see that cooler heads prevail. People go back to their vices in their everyday life. But all of the circumstances are right for this thing to blow and be the tipping point of the second civil war. We have to have some voices of reason now step up and say, let's talk about what we're really even doing here. And what we want to do going forward. I'll be back on the other side of the break. Royce White, I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Stay tuned.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionist on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexShowStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. Now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rating. 5 milligrams of this a day. Most people think creatine is just about better muscle, healthier, more stamina. It's been proven. It's been documented. I'll show you what Grok had to say about it here in just a moment. But the first thing you need to understand is that it's not just making your muscles better or your body be able to do more exercise. It's doing all these incredible things for your brain and everything else. And that's really more and more what scientists are saying people should focus on with creatine. And just since I've been taking creatine for the last few months, it has had dramatic effects on my clarity, my focus, my energy, especially when used with ultramethylene blue. Again, everybody knows about muscle and performance, or most people do, but what are the other benefits? Grok says secondary emerging benefits, improves anaerobic capacity and power output, may increase glycogen storage in muscles when combined with carbs, potential brain benefits, improves cognitive performance under sleep deprivation or mental fatigue, possible neuroprotective effects being studied in traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, depression, etc. May benefit vegetarians and others who have a lower level of creatine in their diet. Who benefits the most? Older adults, strength and power, people with low dietary creatine. It goes on and on. Bottom line,
If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live, InfoWars. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. All eyes on Minnesota again. You saw the shocking footage there of Nick Sorter being dragged by a vehicle in one of the highest concentrated Somalian communities in the entire country. Certainly the highest concentration here in Minnesota. A couple of high rises that, by the way, when they were first built, used to be the sort of cosmopolitan it place to live for your upper middle class or you know, your upper working class there in downtown Minneapolis. I know a lot of my elder relatives, uncles and aunts and people like that talk about when Cedar Riverside was first built and how hot it was of a place to live. And the entire community, and it's probably about a 8 to 10 block radius right in the heart of downtown Minneapolis. I mean, a stone's throw from the University of Minnesota, stone's throw from, you know, the sort of central downtown Minneapolis. And the Somali community has completely taken the whole neighborhood over. It's their neighborhood. Everybody knows it. If you live here in Minnesota, the Twin Cities, you know it. And again, I want to talk to, and for the rest of the hour, I want to talk to whatever sane Democrats are left. And I don't know how many there are. I mean, this is just a shot in the dark. Whatever sane Democrats are left, can we please have a reasonable conversation? Because I don't think anybody really wants a civil war. I don't even think some of the politicians who are pushing that type of rhetoric really want a civil war. And I know a lot of them have never fought in a war or in battle or even really had a fist fight in their life. So, you know, we tend to romanticize violence, and we've been taught that in our culture as well. But I really wonder how many people are ready for what you're starting to see break out here in Minneapolis. And to be quite honest, I know a lot of people aren't ready for it. I mean, I know because I can watch videos of people getting fights, whether it be women or men, young, old, whatever the case may be. I can watch videos of people getting fights and you can't even throw a straight punch. So I know it's going to be difficult for you to be in a long sort of sustained post-civilization anarchy. You're not going to do well there. It all feels good when everybody's out there with their mask on and their, you know, their black protest outfit, and you got your signs and fist up, and you're singing the hymns and the kumbayas and all of the other, you know, pep rally type chants. I know it feels romantic, but that's because the real violence hasn't broken out yet. My caution for everybody tonight is once the violence really breaks out, it's hard to put the genie back in the bottle. And, you know, there may be a day in this country where a civil war is completely warranted and necessary. I would hate to see a second civil war break out in this country over one of the most universal laws across the entire world. One of the most universal laws and basic principles across the entire world. Why would we go to civil war for that? The answer must be that our the gravity towards civil war doesn't have to do with the issue. It has nothing to do with illegal immigration. That's what we're going to talk about on the other side of this break here. We got about a minute until we go to commercial, but the conversation is so ridiculous in principle. You can deduce that it's not about the topic we're actually talking about. We could show you a number of Democrats, and I got a video queued up with Amy Klobuchar back in 2006 where even she sounds MAGA or would be considered MAGA and far right today. So we're obviously not talking about illegal immigration. If we're not talking about illegal immigration, really, what are we talking about? We're going to dive into that and much more on the other side of the break. Again, I'm your host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm your guest host tonight for the Alex Jones Show. Sunday night live here on InfoWars. Stay tuned. We'll be right back in a moment.
I'm an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot and a journalist and a pundit and analysis and a futurist and a father and a guy that loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer, it shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night, to quote Waylon Jennings.
They don't want you to see. This is the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars, the Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota, ground zero for the emerging culture war here in America. What's going on here? I mean, let's just cut through the noise. Obviously, people are out of control. You can tell they've been brainwashed. You can tell that they've been psychologically manipulated at a profound level. What's actually going on? What's the motivation here? There's not one motivation. So I shouldn't even frame it that way because people are out there in the streets for different reasons. But there is an organizing principle here. The organizing principle is an ongoing rejection and fight against Christ, against nationhood, against the MAGA and America First movement, and against President Trump as the fixture of their hatred. You can say what you want. And if there's any sane Democrats left out there, please listen to me. Let's talk reasonably. The way that I know your political worldview and philosophy is dishonest. Because you talk about democracy, defending democracy in the institutions, defending the idea of democracy, defending the Democrat process, the democratic process. You talk about defending democracy, yet in all of your political conversations to date, after President Trump won the election, you refuse to acknowledge that a majority of American citizens voted for him. They voted for the ideas that he campaigned on. They voted to close the border. It's not enough to close a border. If we don't remove the illegal immigrants, then justice is not restored. The border is not restored until the illegal immigrants who came into this country or were led into this country intentionally or through incompetence. We think it was intentional on our side, but even if you admit that it's incompetence, the border must be restored. Justice must be restored. A society can't survive without justice. Isn't that a part of your call to action? Isn't that an organizing principle of your political activism? No justice, no peace. What about the justice to American citizens for a border that was violated? You show your narcissism, you show your Trump derangement syndrome, your obsession, your fealty, your sycophants for your political party when you refuse to acknowledge that President Trump won the 2024 election. A majority of American citizens voted for him, and more importantly, they voted for the ideas that he campaigned on. So who are you, defender of democracy, to say the hell with what the majority of American citizens voted for or want or mandated? To hell with what the Donald Trump voter believes or thinks. They're too stupid to think for themselves. They're too stupid to know up from down or right from left. Who are you, defender of democracy, defender of human decency and dignity and human rights, to tell every person who voted for President Trump that we're stupid, crazy, subhuman? Who are you to say that? And I'm just talking to any Democrats out there that still have an ounce of sacred honor, an ounce of national honor, an ounce of pride in their American citizenship or their American identity. Who are you to say everybody who voted for President Trump doesn't deserve to have a voice in the American political process? And that is the canary in the coal mine here. That is the underlying, signal from the noise. You can argue about all the issues you want to, and you'll jump from one issue to the next. One, it'll be, you know, back then it was the DACA student, you know, the DACA student. It was DACA. And then it was, you know, the cages. And then it was, oh, well, Barack Obama's the one who really built the cages and stuck kids in cages. So now it's something else. And then as well, you're just xenophobic and racist. No, it's not racist to say we're not going to let everybody come live in this country. And then the real sleight of hand is always, well, it's not what you're saying, it's how you're saying it. It's the same thing you said about President Trump when he ran against Hillary. And then you said it about President Trump when he ran against Joe Biden. And you're saying it about President Trump still to this day. But that mentality, that thought process is, it's not what you're doing, it's how you're doing it. We know you're lying. We know you're lying because you supported Joe Biden and the Biden administration when there was a crisis at the border and the border security was at an all-time low. And he and the rest of the Democrats who were in power had all three branches of government, brought no legislation to change it. We know that your fundamental objection to the ICE operations isn't how we're doing it, isn't how President Trump or ICE is doing it. It's that they're doing it at all. And to say anything else is an insult to our intelligence, but more importantly, it's an insult to your own. If you want to come to the political process, or you want to come to the public square with a grievance about policy, or a grievance about society, or a grievance about the American government, great. We want to hear that. And on a lot of issues, we would probably agree with you. But on certain key issues, we obviously disagree, and we disagree at a profoundly deep level. Yeah, we disagree. If anybody out there thinks that we shouldn't have a border, that there's no such thing as citizenship or citizens or being illegal on stolen land, if you're one of those people, then I guess you have to get ready for a fight. Because there's no way. Again, it's an age old tale. You can't help anybody else if you're not okay yourself. If you're not okay, you can't help anybody else. We can't let everybody come live here. That's just the bottom line. No nation can survive by letting everybody come live in their nation. The problem I think we have here is, your layman, your average, let's say, dogmatic Democrat voter who isn't very involved in politics, who doesn't keep up with politics but votes Democrat because the liberal mainstream media has created such a momentum of controlling the narrative that people feel obligated out of fear of social castigation, that person who's just going along with the Democrat narrative because it's the loudest narrative in the room, the loudest narrative in this country, still to this day. We're trying to fight that with alternative media and social media, but, you know, they still hold the levers of power on information. Your average Democrat voter who feels obligated to go along with the masses, to go along with the herd, doesn't realize that the people you're standing next to out there in the streets want something much darker and much uglier than you. They don't just want political power. That's why I said to Nick Sorter and Jake, and I say it to everybody else here tonight, understand that color revolutions never end in chaos. A king will ascend to the throne when it's all said and done. When the dust settles and the smoke clears and the noise goes quiet, there will be a ruler. In this case, you know, it's an ideological collective of special interests, multinational corporate power. We know who it is. We know who it is. The globalist agenda. That's why we say it's the globalist agenda. There is a subversive, international, multinational collective of ideologues that know they have to destroy this country to run the rest of the world. Because in America's DNA, culturally, even though it's being pushed down by every Tom, Dick, and Mohammed that has a Democrat, you know, voting card, that sort of impulse towards freedom that's in Americans' DNA is being pushed down. But still, Americans, you know, there's something about us where we say, we're not going to put up with tyrants. And they're even using that against us in this instance. They're using that against us. They're using the cultural DNA of American citizenship to point at President Trump and say, oh, now the federal government's becoming fascist and tyrannical. No, you're not a tyrant if people are so upset they do away with participation in the political process and choose for anarchy and have to be detained or stopped. That's not tyranny. Tyranny is if you live in Beijing and you want to pray to Jesus or Muhammad or Yahweh or Buddha, you know, or whoever else. And the Chinese government comes and knocks on your door and detains you just because you pray. That's tyranny. It's not tyrannical if you pull a gun on a police officer and the police officer shoots you. It's not tyrannical if a bunch of kids, I saw this the other day, a bunch of kids get into a huge brawl at a shopping mall and the security has to come in and physically apprehend you. Yeah, once you cross that, and this is the narcissism and arrogance, and this has become pervasive in American culture. We don't want responsibility. We don't want to have to take responsibility. We want to air our grievances. We want to talk loud and get violent. And we really think in our head that there should be no consequences that come along with it. Not even that there shouldn't be consequences. We don't even think there should be a possibility of consequences, let alone the actual consequences. And that's why people were shocked about Renee Good. And that's why Scott Lobato was brilliant in saying, hey, protesting is fine, but once you cross that line, you have to understand there could be consequences. You have to go out to protest with the mentality that there could be consequences, because police who respond to disturbance or protest or civil disobedience or uprising are not tyrannical. That's why when I organized the peaceful demonstrations after George Floyd died, I brought people to the Fed, and as soon as somebody even looked like they were going to get unruly and break a car window or flip a cop off or start a fire or do something that wasn't peaceful, we jumped right on them. Nah, we're not here for that. You want to do that, you go do that on your own. You go do that somewhere else, but you're not going to do it right here. And for the most part, people listened. There are a few people who, you know, came out there drunk and, you know, a little psychologically off, and they wanted to push the envelope, and you had to grab them by the shirt and say, listen, if you try and take this peaceful demonstration to a place that is violent, then I may have to get violent with you. But if we can have that conversation between citizens out there in the street protesting whatever issue we have, the cops have the same right. Law enforcement has the same right. The president of the United States has the same right. He has the right to look at Minnesota right now and say, hey, there's a connective tissue to the liberal order. Connective tissue. Somalia, failed state. Minnesota, failed state. Isn't that ironic? liberal Minnesota a beacon of the failure of the liberal order, the rules-based liberal order. Basic questions we have to ask now. How can you have an international rules-based order with no rules, with no rule of law? How can you tell President Trump that he can't go to Greenland? And we're going to talk about this Greenland thing on the other side. How can you tell President Trump that he can't go to Greenland because of the rules of NATO or because of the rules of the United Nations or because of the rules of the G20 or whatever other international body? But you're going to tell American citizens that we should live in a country where people can cross our border, violate our laws with no penalty or consequence? If there is a sane Democrat left on that side, can you please step up and try and corral the conversation back to logic and reality before we incite a second civil war? There may be an issue to fight a civil war about in the future. This isn't it. History will look back on us in shame if we go into a civil war about basic immigration policy. The immigration policy that many Democrats, prominent popular Democrats, the most popular Democrats, Pelosi, Biden, Klobuchar, Obama, Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, Chuck Schumer, the brass of the Democrat Party, said the exact same thing about immigration. The difference is they weren't willing to actually do something about it. When push came to shove, they let the globalist elite convince them that mass migration is a benefit for the Democrat Party. And that's why they allowed it to happen. That mass migration is a benefit to the globalist agenda. And they will be paid handsomely for helping execute that agenda. And I'm going to be perfectly honest. You look at this crowd here, the reason why they wear black, let's talk about the psychological subtleties here. And pause this video right here. Just pause this video right here where we're at now. Let's be honest. Most of these people are white. The reason why they wear black is because they're trying to represent a group of people on identity politics that aren't out there. I'm getting the text messages and calls from black men all across the Twin Cities saying, this isn't our fight. This has nothing to do with us. We're not going out there to fight for illegal immigration. We don't agree with illegal. Now, there are some who you'll see online in comments, men who are neutered, men who are being led around by their sexual vices, their lust, their need for companionship and female attention. And I've never been one of those guys because I always got female attention no matter what I did. So I'm able to speak to these things beyond, you know, the feminist zeitgeist. But there are men like that who you'll see online trying to score points, social points, because of this issue. It's like, really? You know, feminist Sharia law, you know, you're for Palestine. You don't care about the Palestinians. You don't care about the Palestinians any more than you care about the illegal immigrants. And this goes to show you, I saw Mark Ruffalo and he gives an interview at the, I think it was the Golden Globes or, you know, whatever the award show is. And he comes with this pin, you know, Renee Good. And this is just such a scary moment in American history. And we're so besides ourselves with fear and sadness. We see the same script run over and over and over again. They use lies to ratchet up the political tension. And then when tragedy strikes, they capitalize on the tragedy. They use the tragedy to their benefit. Never let a good crisis go to waste. Remember, Barack Obama's chief of staff. Never let a good crisis go to waste. Pause it right here. Pause it right here. I want you to take a good look at this because I love Marvel and I grew up on the comics and I love the Avengers and the entire thing that they've created on the big screen. And I like Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk and he's a great actor. But as much as I like him and as much as I think he's done a great job, you know, acting, this act that he's doing here is the epitome of the problem in this country. And so when Jake Long says that white people in this country have become soft and have become complacent with something subversive, this is who he's talking about. I don't even know if Mark Ruffalo's white or not. I don't know. Maybe he's not. But to me, he is. In my head, he is. But here's a question, Mark. And answer this for me. I hope we can get this clip to him. And I hope we can get this clip to the rest of the Hollywood elites. If you're so concerned about illegal immigrants, why did we not see you invite one or several illegal immigrants to come sit with you all at the Academy Awards? Why do you not bring the tents for illegal immigrants to your Hollywood, Hollywood Hills properties? Why are the tents for the illegal immigrants and the homeless down there on Skid Row? Why aren't they up there with you, living the high life? What, did they not earn it? Are they not good enough to tent up at Hollywood Hills? Or is it because you pay? You pay for the privacy of your own home. Oh, isn't that rich? No pun intended. Isn't that rich? You high society liberal elites pay for the privacy of your own home. That's why you don't bring caravans of illegal immigrants to come live in your neighborhood. And it's all across the country. I don't mean to pick on the actors, but it really strikes me. And this is why I had a problem with the National Basketball Association and the entire sort of culture of celebrity, you know, because it's like I said earlier, people are fake. They're living fake lives in a world that's becoming increasingly fake, digital. They are desperate to connect to something real and meaningful. And in the absence of real and meaningful, in the absence of knowing how to connect with something really real and meaningful, in the absence of God or faith or fundamental basics, philosophical, spiritual basics of how to find meaning in your life, they will attach themselves to any superficial movement, any superficial meaning they can find. That's what's going on in this country. But I don't think everybody, you know, everybody out there are ideologues. I pray that you're not. Because if you are, then we might be in biblical times. And I don't say that in a good way. If you are actually ideologues, if the majority of you out there bought into this narrative are ideologues, you're sycophants, you really believe in the ideology, we may be in biblical times and things are going to get scary. But I don't think that's where we are. I think a good portion of you just aren't paying close enough attention. You're just not paying attention. Your political leaders have the same views on immigration policy as President Trump. The difference is he was willing to do something about it because he actually cares about the value of American citizenship. You have to decide, do you care about it? And we have to decide as a country, do we care about it? And that has to be the message going into the 2026 midterms. Do we value citizenship? And in the absence of citizenship, what does life look like? And more importantly, who is in charge? We'll be right back on the other side of the break. Stay tuned.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said,
This was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else is doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. What is going on out here in Minnesota? What? I mean, I live here. I've lived here my whole life, for the most part, born and raised here in Minnesota. And I just think that this entire deal is a referendum on President Trump, an illogical referendum on President Trump, an irrational referendum on President Trump. I know you all are upset that you lost. I know you can't wrap your minds around the fact that a majority of American citizens voted for President Trump. I get it. Your world is coming down. Your world has come crashing down because you live in the world of, in the thought process of democratic heresy. the heresy of democracy. You believe that all majorities are made righteous and equal. That's the heresy of democracy. One of the four great heresies of the West. The heresy of democracy. You believe that all democratic majorities are made equal and righteous. And so you can only live with yourself. You can only live with yourself if you think you have mass approval. If you think the majority of people think the way you do. If you believe that the majority of people think the way that you do. That's the only way you can live with yourself. You need that validation. You need that, that community approval. You need to feel like others, whoever they may be, whether you know them or you don't, whether they're family or not, whether you love them or hate them, you need to believe that other people think the same way that you do. It's the dangers of a herd mentality. It's the danger of democracy. It's the danger of mob rule. It's the danger of the biology of human beings. We all like to think that you know, we got an army behind us. Even if it's, intellectually. Even if it's an ideological army. We love to think that other people think the way we do. That's why you liberals, have meltdowns whenever you see a black conservative. Whenever you see a black man with a MAGA hat like I have on here tonight, you can't even stomach it. Because it says that maybe the world isn't the way that you thought it was. That is the herald of narcissism. That is the greatest herald of narcissism in American society. Is that you can't come to grips with the fact that some people, a majority of people in this case, in the political context of the presidential election of 2024, the majority of people thought differently than you did. But what you show us is your own impulse towards tyranny. What do you call somebody who can't live with the fact that the majority of people don't think the way that they do, and so they're willing to go to violence because of it? What do you call a person like that? Now, you could believe, hey, I have the righteous position, and if I was one of 100, I would still believe this. But that's not true, and we can see that as well. Because as soon as your Democrat talking heads and pundits and commentators or political leaders switch their position, you switch your position with them. That's the truth. You switch your position right along with them. And that's on the right. Let me just say this. Hold the fucking line. Hold the fucking line. Don't let these people intimidate you one bit. In fact, it makes me sick that there aren't counter protests. But I guess part of me believes, and like Alex says, there's an intuition that what good could come from it? Sure, if there were a bunch of conservative right-wing counter protests, maybe the streets do devolve into chaos, and it does give a shadow government the justification for martial law. So maybe the intuition on the right not to counter-protest is actually the right intuition. What good could come from it? But if that's the case, if we're not going to go out and counter-protest, you better be sitting there watching what's happening here in Minneapolis, especially if you live in Minnesota, and say, this is the moment. If ever there was a moment for me to get involved in the political process, this is the moment. Here in Minnesota, that starts at caucus. The 2024 election was Vicksburg. February 3rd here in Minnesota is Gettysburg. In the Republican Party. February 3rd caucus, if you're an Alex Jones type, if you're a MAGA or America Firster, if you believe yourself a true Republican that really understands the fundamental philosophy of Republicanism, February 3rd, Minnesota Republican Party caucus is your Gettysburg. Because if not, if you don't plan to go to caucus, if you don't plan to get involved in this round of the political process, then your ass should be out there with Jake Lang and Nick Sorter. You should be out there in the streets with your sign and your bullhorn and, God forbid, your sidearm. because it is getting that dangerous. And I'm not calling anybody to be violent, but I am going to tell you to protect yourself because we're in dangerous times. People are unhinged. And then they'll say we're unhinged. How are we unhinged? Because we want to have a border. Because we don't want to let the 15 million illegal immigrants that came into this country under the Biden administration to stay in this country, to remain in this country. Again, it's just like the rhetoric. No, it's not what President Trump is saying. It's not what President Trump is saying. It's how he's saying it. It's not what he's saying. It's how he says it. No, it's not. It's that he's saying it. It's that he's saying it at all. It's that he's saying the quiet part out loud. That's what your problem is for a lot of you. Him saying it makes you uncomfortable. And I know that from my own life. The difference is, see, and this is the fundamental difference, I think, of the political dichotomy here, culturally, politically, socially, psychologically, spiritually. When you believe in Christ, you don't need the heresy of democracy anymore. That's what makes President Trump providential. It's not that I agree with everything that he says or everything that he does. But what's providential is amongst the global elites, amongst the elite class of the entire world, he was willing to stand up and say, America's getting a bad deal. The American people are getting a bad deal. They're tired of getting the shit into the stick. He was willing to do that to his own detriment, to be outcast, to be shamed by the mainstream media, to be targeted by the Democrat Party and their weaponized courts and judges. He was willing to stand up 1 out of 100 and say, this is wrong. And a lot of you have come a long way since he made that courageous decision. And if you say that's not true, you're a liar and you don't even deserve to be taken serious in the conversation. A lot of you have come a long way because that man decided to stand up 1 of 100 and say, there's something wrong here. And that says that you're shaky in your own principles. And praise be to God for that, for us right now as a nation. Because if you were entrenched in your ideological position, this nation would come to a screeching halt. You don't know which way is up. You get your philosophy from Instagram memes. I'm watching you retards. Pardon my French. I'm frustrated because I'm a person. I will lay my life down to participate in a conversation that makes life better for American citizens and really humanity writ large. But America's not going to pay, and we're certainly not going to die to bring condoms to Mozambique or to bring freedom and sovereignty to the Ukraine. We're done paying for it, and we're done dying for it. But I will participate in a conversation ideologically, intellectually, that brings prosperity and well-being to people all around the world. But I'm damn frustrated when I check on some of you, only to find you post your stories there on Instagram, and out of 15 slides, 14 of them are quotes from somebody you don't even know. So quick to listen to somebody you don't even know. You don't even know where the information's coming from. You've been sucked in and chewed up and spit back out time and time again by your own algorithm. You're brainwashed. You're living in the matrix. And the bad part is you think you're wrong. Not only are you dumb, you're arrogant about it. Willing to listen to everybody but Christ. Willing to listen to everybody except Christ. Rachel Maddow is your leader. Does she even seem remotely genuine to you, honestly? Does Jasmine Crockett even seem remotely genuine to you, really? AOC? Hakeem Jeffries? And we got them on our side, too. John Thune? Lindsey Graham? Hell, even Speaker Mike Johnson, we can go down the list. I don't trust any of these people. I'm not a partisan hack. See, but that's the difference. I can say that. I can sit here today and say with certainty, I don't trust John Thune, Lindsey Graham, or Speaker Mike Johnson further than I could throw him. I shouldn't say that because I could probably throw him a pretty decent distance, relatively. But I don't trust him further than most of you could throw him. Let's say it like that. But I can say that. You Democrats have to ask yourselves, can you say that? When I show you video after video of Democrats who had the same far-right fascist immigration view on immigration just 10 years ago, are you willing to say, hey, maybe I've been lied to. Maybe this isn't really what it seems. And I say this tonight to the President of the United States, and you know I'm 1,000% behind you. But a memo needs to go out agency-wide to ICE and say, your task is the most important task in the United States of America to keep the republic. And as such, you have to carry this task with the utmost discretion. And part of that is interagency policy should be, we're not doing this at the schools. And I don't know how many times they've been at the schools. I don't know if it's true that they're at the schools. I know myself that I've driven past a high school here in the Twin Cities, and I saw some ICE agents around the school area. So I'm not sure how widespread it is, but we were winning the school narrative. People were uncomfortable with the sexualization of their children without their knowledge or consent. Because sex is still greatly taboo in this country. People don't even like public displays of affection still. We love our pornography, but we like it in private. People were growing more and more uncomfortable with what they were learning about the schools. There's a great saying, Mr. President, and all of you out there who are, fancy yourselves, fans of history. Never interrupt your enemy when they're making a mistake. Never interrupt your enemy when they're making a mistake. The Democrat Party knew that they reached too far trying to shove the LGBTQ agenda down the kids' throats at the grade school. No pun intended. They knew they reached too far. Let's not help them. Because whether we like it or not, American citizens have a weak stomach for the thing we have to do now. We have a natural sort of defense mechanism towards it in our DNA, in our American cultural DNA, in the DNA of our citizenship. And those things do transfer across time. No matter how watered down they may be, there's still remnants of that spirit. So we have a natural sort of rebellion for police and the police state and military intervention here on our own land, here at home, naturally. Plus, we become so soft, we have a weak stomach for tough tasks. We have trouble asking and answering tough questions, especially when the answers aren't good ones. And there are no good answers to removing 15 million illegal immigrants. So it has to be done, but how it's done, we have to be mindful of. If we're going to try and win elections, if we're not going to try and win elections and we're going to go max, then go max. Go max. The hell with public approval, the hell with public sentiment. If we're not going to try and win these elections anymore, and we're going to say, you know what, we have the righteous and moral high ground, which we do, and these people have so far detached from reality and decency and rational thought and reason, we're not going to leave it up to chance. That's a whole different proposition. But if we are going to try and win elections, simple things. We're not calling off ICE, not one inch. And you Democrats better hear me well. The deportations will commence, like it or not. You could cry. You can yell. You can protest. You can go to the you know, your local Walgreens or Walmart or Target and get as many, you know, rainbow Sharpies as you want and make as many signs as you want. You could get together and organize and sing as many hymns and chants and songs as you want. You could buy all the black ski masks that money can buy. I guarantee you this. The deportations will commence. So if that's the case, then it's all just theater. And at some point, we're going to have to come back to the table and have a real conversation about what the fundamentals of American culture and American society really are. And if citizenship isn't one of them, then I fear for the next generation. I pulled a clip earlier of Michelle Obama saying to a group of students, we cannot afford to wait for Congress to uplift our next generation. Michelle Obama, we cannot afford to wait for Congress to uplift our next generation. Our sentiments exactly, Michelle. Our sentiments exactly. We will not wait for a captured Congress or a captured Senate to uplift or protect our next generation, the future of this country. They had that chance. They had that chance. They blew their chance. And so now to end here, I just, even to talk about Canada and Canada's prime minister. Excuse me, you pencil neck coward. How dare you? The audacity of you. See, but that's what high society does to people. It makes them arrogant. And you are lucky that the president is a kind and decent-hearted man, and he still believes in doing things in a way that makes everybody happy, that to an extent, you know, it gives everybody a good deal. You better be thankful that you get President Trump and not me. The audacity to say that you're going to honor Denmark's authority and Greenland's authority or sovereignty, that you're going to honor the NATO agreement in Article 5? How dare you bring up Article 5 of NATO? You pencil neck coward. You want to sell your country to the CCP and put our enemy right on our doorstep. You sellout communist coward. America has guaranteed the security of Canada for the better part of 100 years. And you have the audacity to even speak about Article 5 of NATO. If it was me, we'd pull out of NATO tomorrow morning. And how ironic when America says that we're going to roll into Greenland and make sure that the Russians and the Chinese aren't using the Arctic to advance their strategic military position, all of a sudden the Europeans and the Canadians have a problem with it. You think you're going to keep playing both sides of the... You better pray. You better pray to whoever it is you communist, globalist, omnisexuals pray to, that President Trump works out a good deal that's going to last until, you know, beyond the next era of American politics. Because I guarantee you, the next America First politician that comes to power in this country, it will not play nice like this. I would pull out of NATO tomorrow morning. Done. We're not going to let you guys play both sides of the fence like that anymore. Ironic. All of a sudden, NATO thinks they can threaten us with Article 5 if we decide to roll into Greenland. NATO thinks that you NATO countries can't even fight off Russia. You keep coming, knocking on our door, begging us to bail your ass out with Russia. What makes you think you can fight a war on two fronts? Let's put you in that position. How about Europe and Canada have to figure out how to fight off America and Russia? But that wouldn't even be the case because Canada would cease to exist if it wasn't for their trade agreement with the United States of America and the American working class. How dare you? And I hope President Trump slaps you right across the mouth. And I don't mean literally. I mean in the negotiations. But even that's a great example. You all hate Russia? The entire post-World War II international rules-based order? Democrat, liberal, rules-based order has a hard-on for the Russians. But for some strange reason, you're going to let them sail their nuclear submarines up in the Arctic, right in our backyard. Well, Russia's right there by Alaska, so I mean, what's the difference? The difference is having them on two fronts versus one, idiot. When you're in a fight against a group of people, you back yourself up into a wall so you can see them all coming. But a lot of you've never been in a fight. So you don't understand these basics. Much of your political philosophy is academic and esoteric. It has no ground in reality. Yeah, we will be rolling up there to take Greenland. And if you Canadians aren't careful, we'd be rolling up there too. Communist coward. And I say that with all due respect. And to the rest of you out there, I honestly, fight a civil war over illegal immigrants? Really? First it was about the Jews, then it was about the Palestinians, then it was about blacks, then it was about women, then it was about gays and lesbians, then it was about transgenders. And now in the final hour, it's going to be about illegal immigrants. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Mark Ruffalo, you take your Renee Good pen and you shove it up your rear end. And not because it's not tragic that she died, that she lost her life. It's tragic that all you liberal Hollywood elites find it appropriate to use it for a photo op, for publicity's sake. That's what's tragic in this country. We are deeply obsessed with the superficial. We are deeply obsessed with celebrity culture. We are deeply obsessed with Hollywood and award shows and high fashion and cotton that's marked up 3,000% because most of you don't own anything. And that's a part of the plan and the agenda as well. In the America First future, there will be ownership. There will be citizenship. There will be borders. There will be a country. There will be a country because without it, you don't have rights. Been another great evening. I appreciate it, Alex, the entire InfoWars crew. God bless you. God bless America. Let's hope we can keep the Republic. And if so, I'll see you next Sunday.
People can use this as a teaching moment that, you know, I see a lot of these people out there who think they can imitate Alex Jones and they have never understood the amount of work that goes in to the detailed reports that you do. But the second part is, okay, if you're out there and you want to be Alex Jones or replicate Alex Jones, Alex teaches you the way to do it, just pay attention. One is learn history, understand what templates to look for. Once you understand that, you understand what the play is going to look like. And then you're just looking for who to cast in what roles because you understand the broader course of history, how these things tend to operate, how assassinations tend to occur, how cover-ups tend to happen, how false flags occur, how staged events occur, how also could the various forms of COINTELPRO type psyops to infiltrate dissident movements to distract them from the real conspiracy into fake conspiracy in order to feed a fake conspiracies into people who otherwise would be investigating the real conspiracy. Also to act as a discrediting agent. So learn the methodologies, learn how to look at how to review sources, how to understand the psychology of the participants involved. Once you understand that, you can be much more accurate and predictive at what took place with more explanatory power and more predictive capacity. And that's what Alex does is massive amounts of work that starts with understanding history.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultra methylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.